2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. I'd like for us to say that last phrase together of verse 10, where it starts off with "for when." Let's say that together, church. For when I am weak, then am I strong. One more time. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Let's pray. Lord, we pray tonight, Spirit of God, that you would illumine our hearts and be the teacher as we enter in this next mark of a healthy, emotionally disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that we would understand it. I pray that we would be teachable. And I pray you would grow us through this particular aspect of just growing deeper in love with you, Lord, and becoming abundantly effective for the gospel's sake by being with you and not just doing for you. But Lord, please just meet with us tonight and speak very clearly, I pray. And I ask that you would now, believing you will, in the name of Jesus Christ, my Savior, amen. Mark number 7, tonight we will begin. And it's this: leading out of weakness and vulnerability. Leading or lead out of weakness and vulnerability. Now, this again is not popular with the world. The world advertises, promotes power and influence. The world wants power. They want to be in control. They want to prove their power, okay? And the disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ is not going about trying to prove our own power. But we are actually out to prove that we are very weak beings with an all-powerful God. And because we're very weak beings, and we all understand that, we're all vulnerable. But the problem is, in healthy discipleship for each of us, is that we, in our pride, convince ourselves that we do not need to be vulnerable. And so I do believe that this is something we all need to hear. I know I do. If there's anybody in this room, I need to hear it. Because it's important as we grow in our love for the Lord and our love for each other, that we realize that God places great emphasis in the Scripture on being weak people.
And we'll look at some of those examples. And I will even say the primary example we have is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Lord demonstrated the weakness of the human being. He sure did. Our Lord hungered. He thirsted. He experienced all the things that we experience from a human side, and at all times He never once sinned. Not once, but He did experience those weaknesses. Okay? And even to the point that theologians have been trying to, and have probably emptied millions of gallons of paint, ink and thought to describe the point when Jesus said, "Lord, if it be possible for this cup to pass, nevertheless, not my will, Thy will be done." We'll never truly grasp that, but we do understand that that was Jesus in the fullness of His humanity, at the same time being God, demonstrated to us that there is a power, and there is an advantage of recognizing our weaknesses. Not trying to hide them, not trying to put up a front. It is being vulnerable. But we live in a world, and especially I would say even in our culture, even as Americans, it is a weakness, it is a sign of weakness to be open about a weakness. That's where we are again, folks, we have to understand, that's not Bible Christianity. That's not what Jesus teaches. He teaches us that when we are weak and recognize that weakness is when He is strong. Paul recognized that. Has anybody here heard of the name Isaac Klein by any chance? I had never heard of it before I read this illustration. Isaac Klein was the senior weather official in 1900 who is known for refusing to evacuate Galveston Island, Texas, before it was destroyed by one of the deadliest hurricanes to strike the United States. Isaac Klein had characterized the fear that a hurricane posed a serious danger, the fact that there could even be possible that it could be any kind of threat to our town, to our city, was absurd. He said, "There's no way. We'll be just fine." In his overconfidence, he never anticipated that there would be waves that would be recorded 10 feet high and 50 feet long, and wind gusts up to 200 miles an hour. And then as a result of his arrogance and defensiveness, many, many, many people died. Many drowned, and tragically there were even bodies washing back up on shore for months. A sober and tragic reminder that, listen, when you're facing the facts in your life and that you know that there's areas that you struggle with and areas that I know I struggle with, for us to ignore the warnings, for us to ignore and pretend that it's all going to be okay is deceiving ourselves. And as disciples, we don't hide it. We don't pretend that it's just going to magically float away without really practicing some godly discipline and surrendering our hearts to Almighty God and to one another in the local church setting. For us to convince ourselves of that, we're never going to be the disciples that Jesus wants us to be. I have no doubt everybody in this room here tonight wants to be a disciple that is effective for the glory of God. Amen? I believe that. I don't believe you'd be here on Wednesday night. I just believe that in my heart. You may have me fooled, but I believe everybody that I'm talking to tonight has a desire to be a disciple that grows deeper and deeper in love with God. But I want to tell you this tonight, for all of us, if that is true, which I believe it is, we have to learn to be vulnerable. Paul was vulnerable. One of the greatest Christians besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Paul was a very powerful Christian, used mightily of God, but as we read his epistles and we read his testimony, he was also one of the most vulnerable men that I read about in Scripture. Of course, I read about one of those aspects tonight of the Apostle Paul. And we'll look more in detail of some of those aspects. Again, I just want tonight to be an intro. The English word vulnerable is derived from vulnerare, the Latin word vulnerare, which means to wound. And everyone in this room, in this fallen world, has been wounded in life. We all carry scars tonight, don't we? Scars that we don't necessarily boast of, but they're there. And it makes us all vulnerable because we're in a fallen world, right? But what the world says is you hide those things and you're able to overcome those things on your own, which God says, well, actually you will be able to overcome it, but you're going to overcome it through me. And being vulnerable with me and being vulnerable with one another. The Western culture, and it's seeping right into the church, of course, because that's what the culture is always trying to do. The culture is trying to get the Western culture and wherever you are, it's trying to get into the church. And places a high value, as I mentioned, on power and influence. Show no signs of weakness. Why? Why don't people want to do that? Well, you know, just some of the most common. Why don't we want to show signs of weakness? Give me some feedback tonight. Yep, people think we're wimps. What else? Good. Invitation for aggression. Good. Anybody else? Rejection. Absolutely. Might cost you a job. If I do this, I may lose my job, something like that. Yeah, someone else. Yeah, Christian. Taking advantage of. Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. The silent, you said expectations? Yeah. Okay. So it's the expectations that disappointing, you know. Yeah, someone else. They're all there. There are many that we could name, but it's there. I'm not going to look as good, or I'm not going to be as esteemed in someone else's eyes. But you know, that's there. Another thing that can come into the disciples is disciples of Christ is really understanding how it's really pride that keeps us from being vulnerable. And does God ever look on pride favorably? If there's anything that makes God sick, and there sin does, but if there's one thing that he points out that just is so repulsive to God, it is our pride. He's totally turned off from pride, but humility is demonstrated and evidenced through vulnerability. It is truly an avenue of it. You know, in his book here, Emotionally Healthy Discipleship, Pete Scazzaro talks about how pride and defensiveness in a follower of Jesus, much less a leader or a church, is a glaring contradiction. That's a good point. Again, as we read tonight, Paul considered his considered his weakness, and his great weakness, by the way, is to the point where he was ready to die, and he called out to God, God, have mercy on me with this situation. And the context there is that Paul got a special revelation from God. The Bible talks about it. It entered into, as you read that passage back in, if you start at the beginning of the chapter, he talked about going into that third heaven, if you will, there in verse 2. And whether he was in the body or out of the body, he didn't know all the details, but God revealed some things to him that were very powerful. And I don't know if that was a glimpse of the details of heaven, the details of some further details about eternity. And by the way, doesn't that encourage you as a Christian that there is an infinite amount of knowledge and reality about eternity that we don't even know yet? Folks, we hadn't even scratched the surface of what God has prepared for them that have trusted Him as Savior. Oh, friends, I'm telling you, the Lord, and Paul saw some things, and it really, and so through that, he's being very vulnerable here, and he's explaining to this in this passage. He's saying, look, and because of that, he says, I'm not going to glory. He says, but in my infirmities, these things that are basically, if I can say it this way, that were kind of keeping him in check. They were keeping him accountable. Because he says, for though I would desire to glory, he realizes, boy, I'd love to glory about this. He says, I'm not going to be a fool. I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that he seeth me to be and heareth me. And says, and lest I get exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, the abundance, the things that he had experienced, he had been given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to try to hurt him. But he looked at it as God is using this in my life. He says, I've tried to seek the Lord on it, but the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, I just want to leave us with these thoughts here tonight as we enter into this subject. There is strength in vulnerability. Admitting weakness, not just, again, playing a part, but it's being accountable. Who are you being vulnerable to? We should be. You should see your pastor be vulnerable. I should see you be vulnerable. And that is something we as disciples should see as each other, that we don't all have it together. We all need prayer. We all need that encouragement and the hand of God on our lives. And sometimes there are certain seasons that are deeper than others and tougher than others. And it does happen in seasons. Nevertheless, we do not hide those seasons of weakness and vulnerability. The temptation is for the enemy to say, all right, you're going through this. Nobody knows about it. Don't say a word. Just keep it to yourself. Hey, you're going to be okay. Just keep walking in silence. That's not what the Holy Spirit is saying. The Holy Spirit is saying, child, you need to get help. You need to be vulnerable. You need to talk to some spiritually minded people. Make yourself vulnerable. By the way, that word vulnerable, talking about the wounds, you know, there's a proverb that talks about wounds, right? Even of a friend. What do? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kiss of the enemy is what? It deceives. It's death. It brings that, and so we understand that that's what we want. The enemy does not want us to be that. Even others in Scripture that we will look at, King David, he acknowledged his imperfections. It was critical to his spiritual health and also for those he led. And it's interesting how God built brokenness and weakness into this thing we called life. And he designed it in such a way as a result of the fall that this weakness would drive us to Him, to His grace, to His mercy. That's what that vulnerability does. And if we look at it that way, we realize then it's a gift. It is a gift. And while the larger world treats weakness and failure as a liability, as we mentioned together here tonight, God sees our weakness and vulnerability as a gift. And it's a great strength that we find in Him. So, over the next several studies that we have together, we're going to just understand how we need to grow in this, because God's inviting us to be in a position, a posture, if you will, of constant brokenness and vulnerability. One in which we are attracted to His love and attracted to His mercy and attracted to His grace for the revival that we need. But we don't like to be vulnerable, do we, brethren? It makes us feel defenseless and opens the door to being hurt, as was mentioned earlier, taken advantage of. But as difficult as it may be, it is an absolute necessity. And this is an aspect that the devil does not reveal. Now get it. It puts us in a position where we need to be loved. And if we fail to be vulnerable, we are forfeiting the love of God to be demonstrated unto us. Because when I am vulnerable, I am opening myself up to God's love and the love of God through others. And not only that is necessary for me to be loved by others, but it's also necessary for me to be able to myself love others. Because I need to practice God-like love. When someone comes to me and they're vulnerable with me, whether it's a child or a spouse or a brother or sister in Christ, we come with that vulnerability. That's an opportunity for us to demonstrate the love of God, to be able to demonstrate that grace and mercy. And it is something we want to grow in. And so I encourage us tonight, as we think upon even going to the Lord in prayer. Prayer is an awesome ministry that the saints have. But you know, even in prayer, we make ourselves vulnerable, don't we? We come to God as we are. We come to Him knowing that He knows everything I'm struggling with. And we say, Lord, I need You. I need You. Now, there's brokenness in my life, and Lord, You're the only one that can bring the repair that is needed. And so I encourage you this week and in the weeks to come, as we especially study this, let's ask the Lord to help us to grow in being more vulnerable with one another and just being completely honest with Him as we seek to be leaders, disciples in this life. Sometimes I'm afraid that the world looks at the church like people that have it all together. They don't have weak spots. Like, oh, that neighbor right there, they go to church. And they go to church on Wednesday nights. Surely they don't have any problems. Yeah, right. Follow Brinson Jennings home, okay? Follow me around for a little while, and you'll be like, whoa, I had no idea. It's true, right? It's true. So no, we don't have it all together, but we are striving to be real people. And we do not want to stay stuck in areas that we are failing or besetting sin that's keeping us from growing. No one's suggesting that. But praise God, the Lord gives us the liberty. He says, children, be vulnerable. Because that's where you're going to see my power demonstrated. Amen. When we humble ourselves, that's when we start seeing the power of God. It's like God's just attracted to that. He's attracted to it. He's attracted to people that just get vulnerable and get real. So I want to be a church that's vulnerable. I want to be a pastor that's vulnerable. I really do. And how all that looks, I don't know. But I do want to be real. Don't you, church? With God's help, with the help of the Holy Spirit, I don't know how the Lord's speaking to you tonight. I just pray, just be obedient. Just let the Lord have His way. And you'll never regret it, because His grace is going to be poured all over your life. As you just say, you know what? I don't have anything to hide. Yep, this is who I am. This is where I'm struggling. I don't want to stay that way. But Lord, I want to grow and be vulnerable. See You glorified in my life. I'm reminded through this study, the Lord's reminded me that, Brinson, you'll never be able to lead people through vulnerability if you're not vulnerable yourself. And as leaders, I'm looking across this room at leaders who are leading children, grandchildren, or leading your wife, men, you're married. If you're not willing to be vulnerable, you cannot expect the ones you're leading to be vulnerable. And so, what are you afraid of? Are you afraid of what people are going to think? Are you more concerned what God thinks? Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank You and praise You for Your mercy, and that You're so good that, Lord, we can feel safe in Your presence even with our sin. As we come with humility, confessing it, recognizing it, Lord, is wrong, but yet just we realize and know it's there. Lord, I just pray even tonight over the spiritual aspects of our life where we're struggling. And then I even think of the physical aspects. Even the Apostle Paul, who was not in sin from what he saw, but Lord, you gave him some physical thorns that were hurtful, and he was vulnerable. But even before You gave him those thorns, Lord, I'm reminded that even when he was ministering, he recognized that he was not strong in speech and was intimidated in some ways. And You gave him the grace of God, Lord. And I know You want to do that for each one here tonight. So, Lord, I do want to pray that this study would find a sweet lodging place in each of Your people tonight, and that we would be vulnerable. Lord Jesus, You were vulnerable there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, God. I just think of what You desire to do. I pray even tonight, even right now, God, that You would forgive us of our pride. Forgive me of my pride. When I don't even want to humble myself before my children or my wife. Forgive me when I'm not willing to talk to another church member about just an area where I'm vulnerable, whether it be emotionally, spiritually, physically. I don't want pride, Lord. I don't want to be prideful. And I just pray that even tonight, God, do something special here, Holy Spirit. And I pray that each one of us would sense that this vulnerability brings a sweet freedom, a sweet liberty, just the presence of God where we feel safe. We don't feel like we're in danger. God, I can't manufacture that, Lord. I'm asking You, Holy Spirit, to do that. Show us Your presence, and God, help us to practice it knowing that we're safe with You. You're doing a great work, Lord. And we thank You. We give You all the glory. For it's in Jesus' name.